So, we've been talking about various tests that the Bible speaks of. And we really kind of narrowed it down to where there are two different types of tests that we're focusing on, all right? The first one is tests that God gives to us. And that's what we've talked about in the couple of lessons that we've done so far. We talked about the trials test, where there are trials that God gives to us, and testing our faith and strengthening our faith. And then last week we talked about the heart test, where we saw how the Bible tells us that God tests our heart, looking at the motivations of our heart. Well, this morning we're going to look at one of the other kinds of tests, one of the tests that we are to be doing. Okay? Now, in all of these tests, no matter what kind it is, there's a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. The purpose of these tests is always to help strengthen our faith. That's the reason God tests us in the ways that he does, and it's the reason that he tells us to do the testing that he tells us to do, okay? Now, the question that we always want to be asking as we look at these various tests, kind of the same one that you do when you're in school and you're taking tests, or you're at your job and maybe you have some kind of certification test or whatever, you always want to know, how am I doing, right? And that's what we want to be asking ourselves through these things, is looking at and checking, how am I doing in this particular area? So this morning, we're going to talk about what I'm referring to as the everything test. Okay? The everything test. And you'll see why I call it that in just a moment. Now, Brian's not here with us today, so we don't have our resident firefighter on hand. But if we had a huge fire going on, then our first reaction and response, oh, that's right, we got Chris over here. Forgot about Chris doing that. I always think of Chris as a paramedic. That's why. I don't know why. But if we have this huge fire going on, Chris, what are we going to do with it? We're going to put it out, right? That would be our first reaction and response to a fire, right? Well, the fire that we're talking about this morning, we don't want to put that fire out, okay? In other words, there are some fires that we want to make sure they continue burning, okay? And the one we're talking about this morning, we want to make sure we don't extinguish this particular fire. In Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, the first letter, at the end of that, the closing part of that letter, what he did was he wrote several short statements of things that he wants Christians to be doing and encouraging us to be doing certain things. So he said things like, rejoice always, and pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Right? So in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we find these kinds of encouraging statements. Then, in verse 19, he gives this statement, do not put out the Spirit's fire. So there is a fire that we want to make sure that we do not put out. All right? That's a fire that needs to continue to burn, and the more it burns, the better. Okay? And so Paul first encourages us, make sure you do not put out the Spirit's fire. Well, what is he talking about here when he talks about this Spirit's fire? We need to understand that the Spirit lives and dwells within every Christian. All right? In his letter to the church in Rome, Paul wrote these words. He said, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And look at this. If the Spirit of God is in you. So he's talking about not being controlled by the things of the sinful nature and by the world, but rather controlled by the Spirit living and dwelling with us. He says, that's what's controlling you if the Spirit lives in you. But then look what he says next. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. That's the Spirit that he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians, telling us not to put that Spirit out. Don't quench that Spirit. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, he talks about the fact that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within the temple of our body. And so there, we need to make sure that we're taking care of our body, that we're not using our body for the wrong purposes and sinful things and so forth. It's because you've got the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves. This is another part of the test that we're talking about. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. He says, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Okay? Living and dwelling within you. That's the Spirit of Christ living and dwelling within us. Unless, of course, he says, you fail the test. So the thing I want you to understand here is the importance of that as Christians, the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within us. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, here's another thing he says about that Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, let me just cause you to think for just a moment. He talks about not quenching or putting out the Spirit's fire. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Think about things. How can we do that? How can we put out the Spirit's fire? How can we grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, I think primarily in the context of both of those would tell us and indicate to us it's by not living in obedience to God's word. You see, what we have to understand is the reason the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within us is first of all because we are saved, all right? But secondly, it is that his power might help us and allow us to live the way God has called us to live. As we were talking about this morning in our Bible class, for instance, we're talking about how sometimes people, you know, we have difficulties and struggles, even as Christians. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that's living and dwelling within us that helps us to be able to live the way God calls us to, even in those difficult and troublesome situations. The Holy Spirit dwelling and living within us when we ignore God's word. What we're doing is we're putting out that fire that is burning, trying to burn within us. When we disobey God's word, we ignore it and throw it to the side, that grieves the Spirit that is living within us. See? Paul says, don't put out the fire. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that is living and dwelling within you. This fire, this is God. The presence of Almighty God that used to, in the Old Testament times, it used to dwell in the temple. Okay? But now it dwells within each one that belongs to Him. It is that fire that is burning within us. That's what Paul wants us to imagine, what he wants us to think of and picture in our mind's eye, of how the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling within us. A Spirit that is on fire, helping us to live the way God has called us to live. He is not to be quenched. And he is not to be restrained. You see, when we're doing that, what we're doing is we're denying the power of God to live and to work within our lives. So that first statement that Paul makes there in that part of 1 Thessalonians is, make sure you do not quench the Holy Spirit and His power that is living and dwelling within you. Okay? Then he talks about this test. Okay? Notice the next thing that he says here. We need to understand this so we understand what it is we're supposed to be testing, okay? He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Okay? Well, The gift of prophecies, and I think the reason that Paul was discussing this the way that he was, is there was a problem in the early church with miraculous gifts. In this time of inspiration, where there were those disciples who had the different abilities to perform miracles and so forth, there was this kind of a way that people looked at the different miracles or different abilities and gifts of the Holy Spirit that they had. And those who had the gift of healing and those who had the gift of tongues oftentimes were looked on a lot more favorably even than those who could prophesy. So the gift of prophecy, in a sense, was kind of like, that's okay, but boy, I sure wish I could heal people. I'd rather have that gift. And that was a problem that Paul addressed a couple of different times, okay? So people would tend to look down sometimes on the gift of prophecy and prophecy itself. Well, what's that word contempt mean? Do not treat prophecies with contempt. To despise them. Or a lack of respect or reverence. In other words, yeah, it's good, but this is better and I wish I could do this. He says, don't do that to the prophecies. All right? Here's a reminder that Peter gives to us. Where do those prophecies come from? Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. What we're talking about here, what Paul is talking about, and what Peter is talking about is God's word. Okay, that's what prophecies were. They were messages from God. In the former times, they generally referred to foretelling of future events. But by the time that Paul and Peter were writing these things, prophecies generally simply referred to the words of Scripture. Okay? He's saying, don't treat them with contempt. Don't ignore them. But then he follows that up and says, test everything. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything. One translation says, test every one of them. What is he really saying here to us? Well, there's a warning here. And there were a lot of different warnings in the New Testament about false teachers that would be coming and that were already there among the people. In other words, those that were coming along and they were telling and teaching prophecies that were not true. Okay? And that's what this really is about, is a warning to test what you hear. Okay? Test everything. It is basically this. It is the Bible versus all the traditions, all the teachings and doctrines of men. Paul says, test everything. And someone comes along and says, here's what God's word says. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God told me. We need to test it. Now, here's a question for you. How do you do that? How do you test the everything? That is, the words, the prophecies, the teachings that people are telling you. How do you test that? Well, you look at it and compare it to what the Bible says. I used to do this a lot. I haven't done it in a long time, but let me ask you this. How many of you have your Bible with you today? Hold up your Bible if you got your Bible with you. Okay? You see, this is how we test it. You take whatever someone is telling you, and I said someone, including who? Including me, all right? And you hold it up in light of the Bible and you test it to see if what is being said is true. And what I try to get people to understand is, I don't want you to take my word for anything, okay? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you something intentionally that is false, okay? But it's possible for me to make a mistake, right? Right? It's possible. It's not likely, right? In fact, I will tell you, I did make a mistake once. I thought I was wrong one time, and I wasn't. But what I'm telling you is, when you go and stand before God in judgment, you're not going to be able to get off by saying, well, Russ told me so-and-so. Because the Lord will simply say, well, did you check it out? Did you test it? Because that's a test that he is telling us to give, to take. You see? Test everything. And he's talking about the teachings, the prophecies, the things that people are telling you. Test them. To make sure that what you're being told is true. And the only way you can do that is to hold it up to the scriptures, to look at the scriptures and to see and compare what you're being told to what the Bible actually says. Now, along that same line, okay, you know, when you take a test in school, you're getting ready to take a test, right? What is the best thing to do to prepare for the test? Bianca, what's the best thing to do?
Study.
Study, right? Okay, you got to study for it. Okay? So if we're to be testing everything when it comes to the teachings that we're hearing, what do we need to do? We need to study. We're going to do a whole lot better, in other words, on that test if we know the material, just like in school. But if you don't study your Bible, you don't know what it says, then someone can very easily come along and convince you of something that just isn't so. So you need to study your Bible. Be ready for the test, in other words. Sometimes, just like in school, you may run into a pop quiz. Okay? Where someone might throw something out at the spur of the moment, how are you going to react and respond to that? If you don't know the scripture, you're liable to go, sounds good to me. See? So you need to study so that you're always ready and prepared for whatever test or, as I said, pop quiz that might come up at any given time. There's warnings, as I mentioned a few moments ago, and here's one of them. Peter wrote, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Okay? We need to realize and understand that just because someone's a preacher, just because they're out up there giving an audience, doesn't mean they're telling the truth about God and his word. There are false teachers among us. Paul wrote to the church, to Timothy, and he said this, a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. Not just a few, but a great number of teachers. And that's the situation we have going on today in the world. There are a lot of teachers out here, a great number of teachers who are saying all kinds of things that just aren't so according to the scriptures. Because that's what people want to hear. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but here it is again, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Well, what is he talking about? Test the spirits. What is it? He says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay? So test them. Test those spirits because there's a lot of falsehood that is being taught and being told. We need to test. I ran across this particular thing. I don't know if you can read the small print up there. Tired of the same old Christianity? Try progressive, it says. Okay? Why continue to swallow the stale taste of the historic faith when you can try something new and different? Our theology soup is loaded with exciting extra-biblical ingredients and spices from the East to fortify your spiritual journey. frankly, we don't know what's in this stuff, but that's what makes it so mysterious and yummy. Progressive theology. That's really kind of the idea. It's a little bit, you know, tongue-in-cheek here, but it's the idea that what people are doing. They want God's word to go down better. It tastes better, you see? Because quite frankly, and I think most of you would agree with me, there are some things in God's word that are hard to swallow, aren't there? Okay? Well, it doesn't do anybody any good if we kind of water it down or make it taste better, okay? When we start telling people things that just aren't so. We need to be aware that that's the kind of thing that people are doing with God's word. Churches are full in all kinds of different denominations. We look around here and we go, we got a lot of empty seats here. You go to some places and they're packed with folks. I'm not saying all of them, but a great majority of those where people are hearing what they want to hear. Say, you can pack an audience if you tell them nice things about them all the time and make them feel good all the time. But you start telling them the truth, there's a lot of people don't want to hear that. See? And that's a big, big problem in churches today. So don't believe everything you hear. Test and study the scriptures for yourself. It is my responsibility as a preacher to tell you the truth. It is your responsibility to make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. And by the way, if you come across something and you say, wait a minute, I'm not sure that he got that right, what do you need to do? You need to come tell me about it, okay? Come tell me about it. So I can make sure that I'm not misunderstanding something and presenting something, you know, in the wrong way. But it's all of our responsibility to study the scriptures for ourselves to make sure that what we're hearing, what we're being told is correct. And then finally, the third thing that he says here is hold on to what is good, he says. Okay? It is a hold on, I would suggest to you, for dear life, okay? When one finds the truth, in other words, he is to embrace it and hold on for dear life. That's really what he's talking about here. He says, test everything. Test what you're being told, and those things that are good, that are true, he says, you hold on to those. Now, the reason that he says that is because it's an encouragement to us to make sure that we're obeying the things that are true. The problem is too many people are going, oh yeah, that's true, and then they're not holding on to it. They're living however they want. And so he's saying, you not only need to test it, but you need to live it. You need to hold on to the truth of the scripture, make sure that you're doing what it says. It does absolutely no good for someone to acknowledge that it's true and then not live by it. He says, hold on to it. How hard do we need to hold on to it? We need to hold on to it because our spiritual life depends on it. Okay? In other words, if you ignore the truth of the scriptures, then you will be lost. So our spiritual life depends on us not just knowing that the word is true, but holding on to it, adhering to it, in other words. And I encourage you, hold on to it like this little guy here, okay? Hold on to it for everything you've got, because your spiritual life truly does depend on it. There's something in your heart, and it's in your eyes. It's the fire inside you. Let it burn. That's what I want you to be thinking about. Wes has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And I want you to be thinking about this test, this everything test we've been talking about this morning. to make sure, first of all, that we don't put out the Spirit's fire that is burning within us. That we look at God's Word and we test everything that we're told to make sure that what we're believing is the truth. And then we hold on to that and allow God's fire to burn within us. Right? Now, maybe somebody here this morning, maybe you haven't been living according to God's Word, the truth that you know is God's Word. Maybe there's some struggles that Satan has got you bound up in. If that's the case for you, let's get rid of that. Let's free you from that this morning. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not yet made a commitment to follow Christ. The great news is you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make a commitment to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that separates you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. The important thing is that when you do that, that God's Spirit lives and dwells within you and burns within you to help you to be what God wants you to be. And that's what we want to do. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?